Let's do this tonight. Take your Bible and turn, if you will, if we can get that to come up. It's not wanting to cooperate too well tonight. Back to 1 Thessalonians, only we're going to be in the 4th chapter tonight. We've spent Monday and Tuesday night in the 5th chapter. Tonight we're going to back up into the 4th chapter. And I want us to look at these, look at this set of verses here. And the title of the message tonight is simply Caught Up. And that's what this set of verses is all about. As I told you a little bit Monday night, I believe it was an introduction to the series we did on Monday night and Tuesday night. The church at Thessalonica was having a little bit of an issue in that they had some confusion in the church and of beliefs, and it was all about the rapture of Christ. They believed in the rapture. There wasn't any dissension as far as believing the rapture was going to happen. They were on that page all together. What they had problems with was some in that church were believing and teaching that if you died before the rapture, you would miss it. And some believe, no, that's not true. Don't know how it's going to work, but somehow you're not going to miss it. And so there was some conflict of beliefs between those two thoughts and ideas among the folk. And so Paul, writing this first letter to Thessalonica, he straightens up a few other things earlier in the chapter, in the book, in the first three chapters. And then when you get to chapter 4, and I never have figured this out, maybe this is just me, they didn't ask me, I don't know why they put the chapter dividers in where they put them. It makes no sense. They should have stuck one in right here in front of verse 14, because this is where this subject starts, and it goes all the way through verse 11 in chapter 5. But they put a chapter break right in the middle of the two passages, which never made any sense to me, but, you know, they didn't ask me, so they just did it. So anyway, we're going to jump in here in verse 13, or I said, does that say 13? Yeah, it says 13, and not 14, but 13. And we're going to jump in here, and we're going to look at this subject matter tonight with us, okay? Here's what it says. It says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest your sorrows as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will and remain also shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's go to the Lord in prayer for just a moment. And then let's look at this set of verses tonight. Father, we come before you and we praise you and thank you for the privilege and the joy that it has been to be in this room every night so far this week, including tonight. And to have looked at the teachings of your word and Father, to have been challenged and in all hope changed by what your word has said to us and how your word has spoken to us. And Father, that we have gone away from these nights changed, different. And we haven't allowed ourselves to just come in here each night and then wander out at the end in the same condition we came in. Father, I pray this would be true tonight as well. I pray that you would challenge us. And Father, that you would change us in whatever way you desire to change us. And Father, we're going to give you praise and honor and glory for all that you do. For we ask it in the precious, precious name of Jesus tonight. Amen. Now as Paul comes to this subject of Jesus, the rapture of Jesus, him coming back to get his church. He's trying to, the number one thought, I believe his number one thought is here, because he didn't have to battle, some false teachers saying it wasn't going to happen like we do today. Because we've got whole denominations of churches that don't believe this anymore. They don't believe it. They don't. Got whole denominations don't believe this anymore. They don't teach it, they don't preach it, they don't believe it. And there's just all, I don't know why, but they don't. And so here's what they have, you got to do something. I'm not really sure what, but something got to change. So when Paul comes to this, he don't have to battle that. I think the whole church is on the page as far as we know Jesus is going to come get us. And so Paul is using these verses that we're looking at here tonight to sort of help them get everybody on the same page as far as who's going to be involved, how it's going to happen, what's going to happen, what to listen for, just all the details as much as he can give, as much as he has, much as the Lord tells him, so that everybody's in the same frame of mind on this thing. And so the first thing I think he was after in this is he comes in and he's giving them some revelation. He says in these just some thoughts that maybe weren't written down, weren't said anywhere, that God had spoken to his heart to give to this church and to us as well here in these verses. And one of the things that I need to make sure we understand is down there somewhere, I don't remember what, verse 14 says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose. The Greek word there that is translated if in English is a Greek word that means since. In other words, not if we believe, since this is what we believe. Okay? And so Paul is saying to these people, now look, you believe this. I know you believe this. We know for a fact, we don't have any problem, Jesus died on the cross for our salvation. Amen. He gave his life. He went to that cross. We didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. But he went to that cross and gave his life for us. And then after that, on the third day, we know he rose. Because there was many of them who saw him after his crucifixion alive again. We know at least, according to 1 Corinthians, there were 500. Minimum of 500 who had seen him alive. So there was no question in the fact that Jesus died. There was no question in the fact that Jesus rose. And he says, therefore, because we got this we got this down, here's what we know. Death is temporary. Amen? Death is temporary. Jesus didn't, he died, but he didn't stay dead. And because he didn't stay dead, those who trust in him, that we're not either. All those who have died here, y'all are kind of quibbling over here, that's temporary for them as well. Jesus, they're not going to stay that way. And they will, here's another revelation that nobody ever said this before. They're going to return with Christ. And this was kind of helping them understand, because nobody, you know what I think? I think they just thought that if you weren't alive, you wouldn't see it. How could you see it if you were dead? They just didn't understand. They didn't know how to explain it. I mean, that was just how they couldn't explain it. So, some of them thought, well, if you're dead, you ain't going to be a part. And Paul comes back and says, oh, no, that ain't happening. Those who have died in Christ, they're coming when he comes and they'll be with him. They won't miss it. They're going to be involved in it. They're going to be with him in this thing. And so the truth of the matter, it's kind of funny, what he's actually saying is, guys, there's no real advantage to being alive either. Amen? Just be how it works. But it's no big advantage to being alive when the rapture happens, when he comes. Amen? Yeah. And then I want us to look at the second thing. Look at the second thing. These are the revelations he gives. And then he gives us another one. He's talking about the return. And what's he talking about with the return? Well, what about this? He gives them the fact of who's going to return. And everybody knew that. Well, but he wanted to make sure they understood it. The Lord himself is coming. And I thought this, as I thought about that, I said, well, yeah, that's true. The Lord himself is going to come. And then the next thought that went through my mind was, you know, he's not sending a messenger. He's not sending a delegation. And praise God, he's not sending a committee. He himself is going to come get us. He himself came and died for us. He himself rose from the grave for us. And he himself is going to come back and get us. That's a done deal. Amen? Now the next question, three or four questions here under this. When? Well, Paul actually addresses that, but not in the verses we read tonight. He addresses it in the fifth chapter in the first verse. He says, now about times and dates, that's what verse 1 says, I got nothing to tell you. I got nothing to say. I got a lot of revelation here I've just laid out to you, but God didn't reveal to me what the time frame of this was going to be. And God has not revealed that time frame to anybody. In other words, let's just make sure we understand, nobody knows. Nobody's going to know. Nobody is going to even guess and get it right. Now, I've yet to figure out why there are some people who think they're so special. God told them and they've got some special thing, but it ain't happening. He hadn't told anybody. And if you find yourself listening to somebody who says, oh, I've got it all figured out. God gave me a word. Run. That's a 14-carat nut you're listening to. All right? Just run. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Now think about the how. Because he covers that in here too. Like a thief in the night. It's going to be momentary, in the twinkling. And in other verses over in Matthew especially, it says, when nobody else is watching. This is how it's going to happen. And even over there in that Matthew passage, I preached that one too, and you go over there and it says, you know, if the homeowner had known at what hour of the night the thief would have come, was coming, he'd have been ready. So the idea is, since we don't know when, but we know how, the idea is just be ready. And then whenever he comes, you're ready. You know what I've found, and I think this is pretty consistent. Those people who are all wound up and tied up in the when, they ain't ready. And that's the problem. They want to know when, so they get ready before he gets here, but they ain't ready at the moment. They're afraid it's going to happen. They ain't going to get to go. And a lot of them are just wound up in the fact that they don't know, and they're not ready. But Jesus' whole idea, as he teaches in all the different passages on this, the one thing he always goes by, and all the consistent thing, is be ready. Because if you're ready, the time doesn't matter. What day it happens ain't going to matter if you're ready no matter what day it is. Amen? And that's his whole point here. Now, I think this is kind of interesting. Where? Where is this going to happen? In the air. Think about this now. Jesus is going to come back and we're going to leave. He's going to come down and we're going to go up and meet him on the devil's turf. He's the principality. That's what the Bible says. And we're going to meet him on the devil's turf. Right in the middle of his living room. That's where we're going to meet him. That's where this is going to happen. People get confused on this sometimes. But let's be frankly honest now. Jesus, when he comes back to get the church, is not ever going to touch the ground. He's going to stop up there, and we're going to come from here to where he is there. Now, the second coming, when he comes back to set up his rule and reign, he's coming all the way to the ground. But not in this. And sometimes people get that confused. But we're going to meet him in the air. Amen? And then he talks about this. Not only where, then he talks about sounds. And sounds. He gives, you know, he can't give him a time or a date. God didn't give him that. But God did give him some things for people to listen for so that when it does start happening, they know what's happening. Amen? They don't know when it's going to start, but when it starts, they'll know what it is. Amen? And he says there's going to be this command shout of Jesus. There's going to be the voice of the archangel. Now, I'm not really sure what that's going to sound like, but it's there. And then there's going to be a trumpet blast. Now let's think about those two for just a minute. The shout of command from Jesus. What's that going to be like? I don't know. But I wonder sometimes, you know, if it's going to be an amplified, magnified command like he gave outside the grave of Lazarus. Amen? The Bible says that he stood outside the grave of Lazarus, that he shouted, "Lazarus, come forth." Do you know why he did that? If he'd have just said, "Come forth," every dead body in that cemetery would have got up. Yep. Amen? He had to qualify. And this shout is going to be the same. If he just comes down here and says, "Arise," every dead person that's ever died is going to get up. It's going to be a specific shout of command for his children and his children only. Amen? That's what's going to happen. And the Bible says, then there's going to be a trumpet sound. And so why would there be a trumpet sound? In that day and time, and for many years after that, a trumpet sound was a sound of announcement, of alert. Many times in wars, they use trumpet blast for different commands. And there's going to be this trumpet sound that's going to blast. And then you know what's going to happen next? You know what's going to happen next? Resurrection. All the dead in Christ are going to rise. That's what it says. Have you thought about that? Graves are going to just pop open. Amen? Now, just for me, I always say this, and I know where I am, but just so y'all know. I believe, he says that, you know, all these people, the graves are going to open, the trumpet's going to sound, and Baptists are going to rise first. Now, I know it says the dead in Christ, but of all Baptist churches I go to, there's some of them going first. I can guarantee you, I've been there. They dead are in a doornail. It ain't just Baptist churches. I'm just there most 99% of the time. Look, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and they're going to come up out of those graves to be a part of this thing. Amen? Yeah. Now, here's my weird mind moment. I got a lot of them. Comes along with a weird mind. Have you ever thought about where you want to be when that happens? If you're still alive and walking around when the rapture of the church happens, have you ever thought about where you want to be when it does happen? I have. I thought about this a lot. I really have. You know where I want to be? I want to be out in a cemetery somewhere walking around. Or I want to be in one of them churches that has its own cemetery. Y'all ever go to those? I've been to a bunch of them. They have their own cemetery. Somewhere around the building, out here, side somewhere. And we've gone to these churches, and sometimes they'll just back our trailer or motorhome or whatever is right up among the graves, you know, right up among the headstones. And we got people all around us, and they're quiet. We're just sitting among them all week. And I'm thinking, Lord, when you get ready to come, just have me doing revival in one of them churches got their own cemetery. Because I'm going to tell, I want to see that. Nobody can replicate that. I want to see it. I want to see those graves come up. I want to see those people come, knowing that it's twinkling. I'm on me. I'm going to be with them. You ain't going to have time to get ready. You're going to have, or get there. You're going to have to be there. Amen? I want to be there. I want to see it happen. I want to see those graves come on. I want to see those people go up in the air. You know, and I've said this many times for many years, and people have laughed at me because they thought, well, that's a dumb, you know, that's crazy. You know, no, it's not. I had this one preacher one time. We was in, I don't even remember where we were now. He is visiting at the church where I was preaching revival, and I happened to be to tell this in whatever passage I was preaching out of. It wasn't this one, but anyway, I told it. I said this, and I said about being there and walking around and seeing it. And I said, you know, how people, some people think I'm crazy. And so he came out that night. He's a great old big guy. He came out and he shook my hand. And he said, preacher, I just got to tell you, I'm crazy as you are. And I have preachers say that to me, you know, ever so often they'll say I'm crazy. But, you know, I've had that so many times, they have to prove it. You know, I don't just take that at face value. They got to prove they're nutty as I am. And I said, well, how do you mean that? How do you know you're crazy as I am? He said, well, I've had the same thought. He said, but I got a little bit different twist on this thing. I want to be in the cemetery too. He said, I've thought about this for years. But he said, here's my little twist, little difference. He said, I want to be preaching the funeral of a dear old saint of God that's just died. He said, I want to be standing there at the head of that casket laid out over there. And he got him in the ground, just laying there, and reading the 23rd Psalm or something. And he said, the trumpet blast. And he said, that dear sister comes right out of that casket. Goes right up, gets about 10 high, looks back at that grave and says, na, 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 na. I shook his hand and said, you're crazy as I am. You make the grade. You know, and we laugh about that and people laugh at that whole thing and it's true. But you know, the reality, that's going to be happening somewhere. When Jesus steps out and that trumpet blows, somewhere on this earth, somebody's going to be doing a funeral in a cemetery, getting ready to bury somebody that just... And at that thing, that's going to be an interruption. Amen? And it's going to be a funeral. All them people standing around there ain't going to forget. When grandma comes right out of that grave, goes right now, I don't know about the nan, nan, nan part, but goes right through that I'm not, this, going right out that tent, right up in to meet Jesus, that's going to happen, the nan, 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 maybe not, but they're leaving, amen? And you say, well, they'll all go in just a twinkling. Oh, no, they won't. The greatest collection of lost people you ever preach to is at a funeral. You couldn't drag them people in here with a bulldozer and a lariat rope for a service. But they all think they got to go to grandma's funeral. And you have got a collection of them. And they ain't all going in the twinkling that comes next. But they ain't never going to forget that. Amen? Absolutely. And then what happens after the resurrection, there's the rapture. The rapture. Where'd my notes go here? I'm all messed up. What did I do? Oh, I got two pages stuck together. You got the rapture, the caught up part, all right? The word rapture, this is one of the things that a lot of people who don't believe this is going to happen, this is one of the things they point to and they'll throw up at you. As a reason why it ain't going to happen, and they'll say, you know, the word rapture is not in the Bible. And it's not. But then the word Bible is not in the Bible either. But the idea of and the description of the word rapture is absolutely in the Scripture. Okay? And if you look that up, it's an interesting idea. It has five definitions. If you go look up the definition of the word rapture, you're going to find five different phrases of definition for that word. And I wrote them all down because they all kind of fit and they're kind of interesting. The first one means caught up speedily. That's probably the best. And then the other one means to claim one's own. Well, hey, that's exactly what's going on. Jesus is claiming his own. Amen? And then it means to move to another place. Well, that's true. We're leaving this nonsense and going to heaven. Amen? So that one's good. And then there's another one that says we are rescued from danger. Well, that's absolutely true. Because the complete insanity that's going to take over after we're gone, that needs rescuing from. Amen? But here's the one I'd never thought about, and this is the one that just caught my eye really fast. And it means seized by force. Snatched. And I thought, yeah. There are a lot of people down here. They saved. But they're so connected to this world. God's going to have to jerk them out of here. Because they're not connected to Him. They're not paying attention to Him. It's all about what they want to do in this world. They're going to have to be snatched. Amen? And that's one of the words, one of the definitions. And it's absolutely going to be true. Some are going to have to just be snatched out of here because they are so connected to here. Amen? Absolutely. And look at this next one. If I can find it, I got my pages all out of order tonight. I don't know what I'm doing here, but let's look at this one. How about reunion? All of a sudden, there's going to be in the air a reunion. Number one, we're going to meet the Lord face to face. And from that instant forward, we're going to know Him by sight forever and ever. Amen? Now, I don't know. You just got to think about that. Let that one settle for a second. Not by faith, not by His Word, but by sight, we're going to know Him forever after that. You just kind of go, wow, what is that going to be like? Amen? What is that going to be like? And I thought about how are we going to react? And there's a song that was Song of the Year in 1999, I Can Only Imagine. And Bart Miller, Bart pretty much summed it up, well with that song of what we'll do. If you don't, you know the song, I'm sure. But all the stuff he talks about. I mean, we look at that song and I think, wow, he's got it pretty much summed up right with the way I think it's going to be. Sometimes we're going to sing, sometimes we're going to shout, sometimes we're going to be just in total silence because of the power and presence of God where we are. There's going to be reaction, and we're going to do those things. Amen? Yeah. And then the reunion's not just there. We're going to be reunited with family, loved ones. Before that moment, death is the separator. But in that moment, Jesus is the reuniter. Amen? And we are going to be together again with loved ones. Now, let's make sure we understand this. The relationships will be different. Husband and wife will no longer be husband and wife. They'll be brother and sister. Father and son will not be father and son. They'll be brothers. Okay? I hear these people, a lot of times at funerals, and it's not the time, but, sometimes mom and dad are walking down the hand. Not as man and wife. There is no marriage in heaven. And I don't want anybody to say amen. Some of you may be tempted. Amen. Or just go, to be reunited. For me, I look forward to it because there's so many there. My dad died 43 years ago. And to be able to be with Him again. And, you know, just take some time and let Him in on all the stuff He's missed here with us, with me. God called me to preach after He went to heaven. He never heard me preach. He never saw us do revivals. We'd been in evangelism about 6 months. He did get to hear the final test project of our first recording. But that was it. He never saw or heard any of the rest of them. You know, and I can't wait to, you know, I wish you'd have been there. Amen? And there's so many things like that that's going to be brought back together in that wonderful, awesome reunion with all the loved ones who have already been there and already there. Amen? And we'll have all the time in the world to catch up. Amen? Amen? Absolutely. I look forward to that. There are no two ways about that. I want to show you one more thing. That sort of sums up the gist of it. But then he gets into the last part of it, and the last part of it I call responsibility. What is the responsibility we have in this? Well, it says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Had a seminary professor one time, he said, guys, anytime in Scripture you see the word therefore, what you need to do is look and see what's just been said to see what therefore is there for. Amen? In light of all that Paul has just revealed and talked about, take this and encourage one another. Those who have lost loved ones who are saved. Encourage those who have loved ones who are not saved to work tirelessly without end to see them get saved. When we're going through stuff and we're going through just nonsense that's been brought on us by the stupidity of this world, encourage one another. Look, one day, whoo, Jesus is going to come. We're going to leave this nonsense here. Amen. Encourage one another. Amen? Amen? Be a comfort and a joy to one another by encouraging. And that's our responsibility in knowing these things. And do everything we can not to let anybody miss this. Whatever that takes. Amen? I don't know if y'all remember the Cathedral Quartet. Some of us who are old enough, we remember them. Back in that, you know, the guys, the main two, George Johnson and Glenn Payne, both passed away now. Glenn in 99, and basically the Cathedrals pretty much were finished after that. And then George got sick and he died a few years later. But they did a song in the late 90s. That I've threatened to sing it, and we never have. I've threatened to do it, but we've never sung it. But I love it. The song is called, I've Read the Back of the Book. We win! Amen. And that's absolutely true. You go over here and read the end of this, you look at this stuff that's going to happen in the end, we win every time. People need to make sure they got that in their head. That all this garbage we have to go through and we go through here, this ain't the final thought. We're going to win this thing when Jesus comes back. Amen? We're on the winning team. There's no doubt about that. That's going to be the case. I'm just wondering tonight, do you want to be on the winning team? I don't think I've talked to anybody sports wise or anyway, you know, that don't want to be on the team that wins. The only time I ever hear anybody choose the team that doesn't win is sometimes in church when we walk away from Jesus. What's it going to take for you to finally say, I want to win? I want to be on that team that's going to win. And the ones that's going to win are those who know Christ. Amen? Amen. And my invitation to you tonight is simply this. If you're not absolutely, totally 100% sure you're on the winning team, then please don't leave this room until you get there. Get there. Get to this John up here. Look at him and say, I want Jesus. And let him talk to you about what you need to know and pray with you about receiving Christ into your life as your Savior. So that you don't put this thing off and let this event take place and you miss it. Because it's going to happen. And those who know Him are going to go. And those who don't are not. And it's pretty clear. Not a lot of debate on that. So if you're not positively sure you're going, that you're on His team, that you know Him as Savior, and He knows you, I don't care what's kept you from coming to Christ up to this point. Set it aside and get to Jesus. Because whatever it is ain't worth it. And it ain't going to cut it. And it ain't going to change nothing. The only thing going to change it is you coming to Jesus. And that's my invitation. Get to Jesus while you can. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before You tonight and we thank You and praise You. We thank You and praise You for everyone in this room who knows You and those who are going to be with You and there's no doubt in their mind in this thing. But Lord, I lift up that one or two or three in this room who may not know You. They know about You. They know the story. They know the name. But they don't know the person because they've never called on You to come into their life and save them. And Father, I pray right now that they would do what they need to do to be saved tonight. To come to You. To call on You. To confess You. And to confess they need You to save them. And Lord, I pray they do that right here in this moment. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus tonight. Amen. We stand and we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. And as we sing this song, Brother John's right there. Altars are here. Maybe you got somebody in your family that's lost and you're having a hard time dealing with them. Get down here, get at this altar and just say, okay, Lord, what do I need to do to get their attention? Help me get their attention so they can come to know You. Whatever it is you need to do, get here tonight, would you? As we sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turn.